weekday mornings from 11. This is Northside Today.
Now we're going over and we're going to listen to an interview with Adrian Murphy, did with four members of the Gael Guides Association, and they spoke a little bit about the history of the Gael Guides and their own fond memories.
Hi, and we're here on Near 90.3 FM with some members from the Irish Gael Guides Association, and we have Marisa, we have Joan, and we have Amy and Abigail. Hi guys.
Hi.
Now, so just to ask you a few questions. So, first question I'll ask to you, Marisa. How long have the guides been set up?
Well, scouting was set up in 1909 by Lord Baden-Powell, and the girls felt that they wanted their own organisation to get involved. And so in 1910 in the UK, they set up the Girl Guiding in the UK, and then in 1911 the first Girl Guiding units were set up in Ireland under the headquarters of the UK.
Right. So. And where were they set up?
In Dublin.
In Dublin.
Yes.
And what would be the difference then between the Irish Girl Guides and the Catholic Girl Guides? Do you want to take that, Joan?
Yeah, thanks. I suppose originally the IGG would have been set up under the Protestant religion, the CGI, Catholic Girl Guides of Ireland. But now, down the country, I suppose, when I was a child, I mean, I joined IGG in Galway, and that was definitely open and multi-faith type of aspect and open to any denomination. So both IGG and CGI are still going really, really well. They're hugely popular with girls from ages 5 up until 18, and then we have young adults as well coming back as leaders into the IGG.
And what is there an age that you have to become a leader, or it's just going up through the ranks, or
a bit of both really? I mean, we'd encourage some of our teens to come back and help younger units with the ladybirds. Mm-hmm. That'd be an age between, that'd be the sort of the first group that you would join within IGG. Mm-hmm. We're always of the view of empowering girls to get involved, to help others. And then also there's opportunities for parents who might have never been part of IGG to actually come in and learn how to be a leader. And often that does happen with units where they might have girls, daughters themselves, and might want to get involved in IGG.
Yes. Marisa, you were saying that earlier, didn't you say, that you joined because your daughter...
I did. I joined because my daughter wanted to get involved, and there wasn't any room in any of the local units. So a unit was being set up, and so they asked for volunteers. And it's not that I volunteered, I just didn't step backwards. And I just started on an amazing journey being involved and being a leader. And now my own daughter is an adult leader and helping to run her own units.
Fantastic.
So the girls can get involved from once they finish in guiding the Girl Guide section, when they move into the senior branch from 14 and a half, 15 onwards, they can come back. A lot of the girls help out with their, as either their hobby section or their community service section for the Goshka during their transition year.
And what is the Goshka? What's that involved for?
Well, the Goshka is the President's Award, and they need to do a number of aspects involving community service and helping out in various aspects of the community, and they also need to do service. So guiding incorporates lots of those aspects, and is a great way for the girls to complete their Goshka. For example, my daughter did her Goshka with her school, and she did guiding as her community service part of it. She's now gone on done her Silver Goshka, just completed that on her own with Irish Girl Guides, and she's looking forward to doing her Gold Award now, her Gold Goshka.
And then she'll get to meet the president then and get the award. Is that what happens?
Yes, absolutely. Although she is going to the Oris in a few weeks' time for her Silver Goshka.
Very good.
Yeah.
Nice. Are you going to toddle along with her?
Hopefully, yes. on her coattails, yes.
See Sabina.
Yes.
So you've spoken about the ages, and Let me see. Now, we want to get the younger ones in, Abigail and Amy. We'll go to you, Abigail. What's your most memorable moment in guiding?
I definitely have a lot of memorable moments. One of them being when we met Brezzy on our enrolment day. We went up to Dublin to all get enrolled in different places. And we just casually bumped into Brezzy. So that was pretty cool. And then last September I went to London for a Use Your Voice event where I went with five other girls from Irish Girl Guides across the country that I'd never met before, and we spent a weekend in London learning about public speaking and blogging and writing.
Great.
About your own personal views and things like that.
Lovely.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool.
And now nobody can see this, but I'm looking at I didn't know what it was until I asked you. It's a plastic duck with a little crown on it, and it's hanging from your... What's that around your neck?
That's my necker.
Your necker. Yeah. And why have you got that plastic duck on?
There are eight regions in Irish Girl Guides, and I'm part of the Eastern Region. And if you join Senior Branch in Eastern Region, you get ducked. So I got ducked, and then I went on holidays and found an extra special duck, and I decided to get the one with the crown.
Very nice. Looks good. And Amy, we'll get you now to say something. What's your most memorable moment within guides?
Well, when I think of guides, I always think of giggling with my friends and making s'mores and kind of just...
What's a s'more? You can't get past that. What are they?
It's when you cook a marshmallow over a campfire or a fire. And you then squish it between two digestives or chocolate biscuits. And then if they're chocolate biscuits, you'd get the melted chocolate with the marshmallow. And
sounds yum. Debbie's giving the thumbs up there. And now we'll ask the older guides here. Joan, what's your most memorable moment in guiding?
I suppose I have memorable moments as a guide myself, getting opportunities to travel to different parts of the world that really wouldn't have been available to me as an individual if it wasn't for guiding. I started off guiding as a brownie in the west of Ireland, in Galway, in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And I just really took to it. I mean, it was great having the peers to get on with, to share problems, to solve problems, to have adventures. And then went on to guiding then in Galway, moved to the UK then as a teenager, and got in with the guiding group in the UK. Mm. And, you know, with my sister also, we were involved in a local unit in North London. And then when I came home then again to Ireland, you know, taking part as a leader when my daughter started Brownies. And I think being part of that adult community as well as a leader was great. And also being part of it for my daughter, seeing her achieve so much through IGG as in her own individual right. We've lots of day hikes that we would go on to week camps and linking with lots of leaders around the country. Both even nationally and internationally, is a real privilege that I found. And even today, being here at Near FM, through the IGG again.
Great. Mm-hmm. And Marisa, talking about those week camps, don't you have a week-long camp coming up for the trip to TIP or something, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes. We
Tell
have
us about that.
An international camp in Rockwell College coming up in the first week in August. Really excited. All our girls are just so excited about it. It's an amazing experience. It's life-changing. I've explained that to parents and girls alike. It's life-changing. They will never, ever forget their experience on international camp. We camp overnight. We camp for weekends. We stay in cottages. We camp in tents. But this is a full-on camp. Thousands of people all in one site, in divided into sub-camps where we'll camp maybe in about 30 to 40 per campsite all together. A number of events organised, activities all day, every day for the girls.
And what sort of activities would you do?
Okay, well, for this camp, we're not going to know probably until next week a little bit more about our activities.
But an idea of maybe years gone by. Yep. This happens only every 4 years.
Every 4 years, yeah. Right. So in previous years, I know certainly this year there's going to be swimming. We'll have some kayaking. There will be outings, horse riding. In previous years, we have had they've had challenges where they've had to learn about different cultures, where they've cooked, where they've done projects on certain aspects of society or international guiding. They have done the zip wires. Just, you know, the wide spectrum of activities.
And they're outdoors at all times, it's
no, it's Ireland. We can't be outdoors all the time.
That's
when we're camping.
That's what I was thinking, these tents.
But we do, a lot of it is outdoors, and we encourage them to be outdoors. You put your wellies on, you put your raincoat and your waterproof trousers on, and you stand in a field in the rain and you enjoy it. I know it sounds ridiculous, but you do. We have great, great fun. But we do. We get them indoors and there's marquees and we've wet weather shelters. So even if it rains, or even when it rains, I suppose we should say in Ireland, we have lots of fun.
Lots of fun. Mm-hmm. Loads of things to do. Are you looking forward to that, Amy?
Yes.
Yes, you're definitely going down.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. So let's see now. I believe you do look for volunteers from time to time. What would they be doing then, Joan? Would you like to tell us about that? Are they volunteering on getting money or funding for you, or what would they be doing?
I think the main opening for a volunteer would be to come and help out at the meetings. Often that might come from a parent, but also there's opportunities for other specialists. Like at one of the units, we had a guest visit from the Mountain Rescue, and he came one evening, explained to the girls about his role and in the activities. And then we were lucky enough, he helped us organise a day hike as well into the Dublin Mountains.
Great.
With the leaders. So it can really range from somebody's expert knowledge or skill to having a parent come on board as an assistant leader or a leader, and then there's even opportunity for some parents to come on a sort of a rolling roster depending on their local unit's needs.
And I suppose the likes of the trip to tip, that's sort of a week long, you may need a lot of people involved to look after, especially the younger guides.
Yes.
While they're there.
Yeah.
So, well, how would they become a volunteer then? How do they go about doing that, Marisa?
Well, if anybody's interested in becoming a leader, our advice probably would be to contact National Office, and National Office will put them in contact with the local area or district commissioner or regional development officer, and they will point them in the direction of units that are in need of leaders.
Is there a website or a Facebook page or anything that they
yes,
can go to?
IrishGirlGuides.ie.
Grand.
And yes, we have a Facebook page as well, so we have a whole media exposure there.
Yes.
So yes, and then they can get in contact with their local units closer to where they live.
That's great. So we've gone into what's a s'more. So what about the World Centre? Have you been to a World Centre, Amy?
Yes, I've been to Pax Lodge in London and our chalet in Switzerland.
And what exactly are they? What's that?
Well, it's the one in Pax Lodge in London. It was a house type building, and there were volunteers there, and I went there with my family, and there were also Girl Guides there when we visited there. And I felt it was very good to see what Pax Lodge was like, even though I wasn't with my Girl Guide branch, but with my family.
So these World Centres, are they run by the guides or held by the guides? Joan, do you want to, or Marisa?
Yes, they're run by the World Association of Girl Guides and Girl Scouts throughout the world. So we have four World Centres. One, as we've already said, in London, Pax Lodge. We have one in our chalet. It's in Switzerland, which I think we've nearly all been to.
Very nice.
And then there's one in India and one in
Mexico.
Which we'd all like to go to.
And how do you get the opportunity to go to these?
Well, Pax Lodge and our chalet, we've gone in our guiding units. Mm. But sometimes you get the opportunity to go to conferences or seminars there as an individual. Abigail has travelled as a representative of her unit in her region on trips. So there's lots of different opportunities. Mm. And the older you go, the more experience you have, the more opportunities you have to travel.
Fantastic. Abigail, do you want to tell me about your experience?
I've never actually been to a World Centre, but I went to London and we got to have a look at the World Centre, and we spent a weekend in London. We met the Chief Commissioner of WAGS, which is the World Association of Girl Guides and Girl Scouts.
Oh, right, so not wives and girlfriends.
No.
She is the head woman of the whole organisation, so that was pretty spectacular.
Fantastic.
We spent an evening up in the City Hall, so we could see out to the Tower Bridge and the London Eye. We could see across the whole city, yes. So that was quite cool. We learned about lots of different things. We got to choose what talks we wanted to go to. So I went to one on female genital mutilation. I thought that was really interesting because yes. It is preventable. And it's a disgrace, really, that it still happens across the world all the time.
Definitely.
It's not necessary. Mm. It doesn't need to happen. And it was really interesting because we got to hear from a victim of FGM. So it was really interesting to hear about how it had impacted her life, and it still does.
Yes.
So that was...
That's fantastic. Yeah. So interesting, yes. And it is something that people need to speak up about. Did you go to Poland or something? Do you read?
I used to live in Poland with my family,
and
I went to the British school there because I was not fluent in Polish at the age of 5. And while I was there, one of the teachers set up a Girl Guiding UK branch in Poland. So I joined as a brownie. I was around the age of 7.
Right.
And then when we came back home, I came and joined IGG as a guide.
Great. Well, some experiences between you all. So is there anything else that you'd like to tell people out there about the guides and try to get them involved, maybe?
I suppose one of the things that it's very important for everybody to know is the tagline for Irish Girl Guides is giving girls confidence. Mm. And as leaders and guides and senior branchers, I think we can all testify to that is, it not only gives the girls confidence, but it gives us as leaders confidence. When we travelled to Switzerland some years ago with my unit, we had had so many adventures. We'd abseiled off bridges. Some of the girls had done pendulum swings. We had gone on the dry sleds. We had been in cable cars. Amazing adventures. And at the end of our trip, we were all sitting around in the common room talking about it. And we said, is there anybody in the room who has not had a challenge, has not pushed themselves beyond where they thought they could go? And we all stood up. We all felt that we had just achieved something that we never would have dreamt we would have done before. Guiding gives girls the confidence to be who they are, be who they want to be, and to go on and be great leaders in the future.
Yes. Definitely. I'd attest to that because I've given training before to the guides, and I noticed that the women had this, they're just well-rounded, confident young ladies, and it's fantastic. You're making me want to join it now. Especially with all that adventures and kayaking, and yes, definitely. So it's been lovely speaking to you all here today, and it's great having you here in the studios. So hopefully we'll get you back again at some stage, and you can come back maybe to tell us all about your trip to tip.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Yeah.
Yes, good. Thank you.
All right, many thanks to Adrienne Murphy there for that, and of course the Irish Girl Guides.
This is 90.3 Near FM.